It's good to be here on the Sabbath day and to see and experience really what's going to be like in heaven. You ever thought about that? Each Sabbath you will be meeting together. And you know, I've had the privilege in this last week to be out on my property at Scone. And there are no houses to look at. You're only looking at God's beautiful mountains and the hills. And each night I looked up in the heavens and there were the stars in all their glory. And then to see Orion and to know that that's where there's going to be movement soon, for Jesus is about to come. And it's exciting. One of the interesting things I find the first time I arrive there and I go to bed at night, there's this one wombat. He decides to do, I often think of Kyle sometime. He goes out and jumps up on the ground outside the building, exercise during the day. I said, Kyle, stop the rain dance. Well, this wombat, he goes around and around the shed, keeping me awake. He goes, and I go outside and there he is. He just looks at me. He said, this is my territory. What are you doing here? So we have to share. We have to share. You know, it's been a real privilege to talk to you today. I take it very seriously. And I always ask, Lord, what do you want me to speak about? Because I believe present truth is present truth. The things that you and I need to know and understand for what is coming before us. And God's not slow at telling us. In fact, His whole Bible is revealing to us something so unique and so special you want to be part of. There's not one of you here that shouldn't have a smile on your face living in April 2022. There's no reason for you to walk around with a gloom and look upon your face. God is revealing to you things that are telling you and me that He's about to return. Everywhere you look, there are signs telling us Jesus is about to return. You know, I have a question that I'm asked quite often. Being at 3ABN, and the question that's asked nearly every week, how is 3ABN going? So I'm going to share a little bit to you about what is going on in 3ABN. But I want to start this way, if I may, if I'm permitted. 20 years ago, March 5, 2002, Rosemary and I spent the whole day trying to adjust a satellite dish. By the way, it was 3 metres in diameter, trying to find this 3ABN. You see, we'd just come home from the mission field in Thailand where we actually physically saw 3ABN and we listened to Danny Shelton speaking and other speakers as well. And if you're a missionary, if you've been a missionary, you soon discover that being in the mission field can be a very lonely place in the sense of you don't know what the church is doing elsewhere in the world. And suddenly before us, we saw what the Seventh-day Adventist Church was doing all around the world. And there were ministries, people just like you, doing things for the Lord and were able to witness and give an account through 3ABN. 3ABN became a facilitating ministry of spreading the gospel around the world. And, you know, that evening we saw Danny Shelton in our home. As far as we know, it was the first time. I want to tell you something interesting that happened. When people heard we were going to get 3ABN that day, we had a whole lot of them come to our home. And they waited patiently. Well, I moved the dish and Rosemary sat there, and many times we stopped and we prayed. Didn't have a clue what we were doing because the company that sold us the equipment never told us. They didn't want people to know because they were making a lot of money putting up these satellite dishes. And if I was a novice and I could pick it up, then I could teach others. Some came to see. They were very disappointed because we didn't find it. And they went home. So I continued to persist. And later that evening on that same day, suddenly, we saw Danny Shelton on a 3ABN Today program. And it was exciting. And we rang up some people. They came all the way back, maybe 40 kilometres, just to see it. You know what happened? It started something off that we didn't really imagine. But God had it all worked out. We started putting out, we put in our dish and then we put in 10 and then we put in 100 and then we put in 500 and then we put in 1,000 dishes. And it was really interesting. It was really interesting because it wasn't too long. We decided to do a trip around Australia. Many had heard about 3ABN and those that did wanted to have it in their homes. Now, let me tell you, when we travel around Australia, there are a lot of people that can't do what you're doing. They can't come to church and enjoy the fellowship. So they're home at home. And so 3ABN became their church, and it didn't matter where you live across Australia, you could watch 3ABN. I just want to tell you, God is a God who can perform miracles. And if there are miracles that can be performed, he's the one to do it. Because we never intended to do any more than just put in satellite dishes and see the blessing. Now, you know, many times I went into homes when we were travelling, and you know what they were watching? They were watching just like every other Australian who has television was watching that stuff on TV that did nothing really to uplift you to Christ. 3ABN was the first Christian channel on the satellite, and they were the first ones where you actually turned on the TV and guess what? You could stop because someone was praying. Someone was talking about God. Someone was talking about healthful living. Someone was talking about the three angels' message. Someone was talking about living a healthy life. Someone was talking, remember God, because what has happened in the world? They have forgotten about God because their minds were engrossed in the things of the world. I want to tell you just one miracle. Oh, if I was to start telling you about the miracles just at the beginning of 3ABN, I'd have you here till this evening. Maybe that's not a bad thing. It's the Sabbath day, isn't it? So let me tell you, you know, we had to set off on the journey. We didn't have a vehicle. We didn't have a caravan. We didn't have a car. You know what? I won't tell you any more than this, but God provided the vehicle and everybody got to know it as Kermit. Has anyone heard of Kermit? If you are a 3ABN viewer, you will. Every time we go to America, they ask us, what's happened to Kermit? Well, Kermit was a 1984 BJ Land Cruiser, a short wheelbase. And Rosie and I suffered with, I think, almost a broken back travelling three times around Australia. She said, that's it. We're going to not travel in this car again because a short wheelbase Land Cruiser is doing this all the way, you know. But, you know, despite all that, God got us around Australia three times without anything happening, except we lost the fan belt on the air conditioner when we were heading towards Alice Springs. And it was hot. We had to stop and travel during the night. And it was an interesting experience. Lots of stories. But God provided the vehicle. He provided the caravan. Now, let me tell you, I know I've got a caravan now. It's a nice caravan. Back then, it was a little old caravan. It had a pop top in it. Every time you walked in, you hit your head. And the bed was squashed up to one side. And Rosemary and I, we looked at it as like a real blessing from God to be able to have a caravan to stop wherever and then sleep. And then, you know, then came the question of how do you fund this? Well, I want to tell you just briefly. People had been to church like you have today, and they felt impressed to call us and to give us some money because they knew we were going to do this trip. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, it was $10,000. Now, for me, that's a lot of money just to give to someone, but they saw the potential of the gospel reaching out across Australia. And so with that $10,000, we travelled, and you know what? It was the exact amount of money. because we didn't charge to put in satellite dishes. We were able to load up Kermit, and I don't have pictures of it. You've seen it. If you watched 3ABN, you would have seen it. There's a short wheelbase. I had 10 satellite dishes, huge dishes, like a sail I made of rack, and they were spacing like this out to the front, all stacked. I had to carry posts that were 90 millimetres in diameter, 10 of them, and bags of rapid set. Well, you know that poor little Land Cruiser? Its front was up in the air like that. It was towing the caravan, and we were battling to get 60 kilometres an hour. So it took a long journey, but God had his hand over that. So we were able to go, and we put in satellite dishes across Australia. You know, it's really interesting. It was exciting to see God's Seventh-day Adventist people watching Christian programming for the first time. First time across Australia. How is 3ABN going? By God's grace and people's continued prayer and support, it's still going, but we see a more rebellious society in 2022 who exclude God. Then we can expect things to change. I believe it is by the grace of God that right now any Christian programs are being seen around the world. It's soon going to change. Things are rapidly... People don't want God. Why do you want God? Look at all that we have. You know, we have an abundance. So much. God is now being excluded. And those people are becoming the majority. And Christians are the minority. They don't want to hear what God has to say. They don't want to hear. They are going to solve the world's problem. You're seeing what's happening around the world. They're having all these meetings and forums and climate change. How are they going to save the world? But the solution is Jesus. He's the one that's going to bring peace out of the confusion. He's going to give you a reason for living and doing what you're doing, not satisfying your own selfish desires, not trying to save yourself. He's the one that can save you. We're forgetting that. Only time will reveal the impact this ministry has on people's lives, helping people to keep their eyes on Jesus, teaching people the truths found in the Bible and sharing the good news of the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ and his return. But you have to be the messengers. God has planned it that way. You, every one of you sitting here, can be a disciple of Jesus and tell the message wherever you are. You don't have to go out and be a preacher. You don't have to do that. You have to be a living Christian in your home. It begins in your home. And as people see the light emanating from you, which is from Jesus within, you will draw people to Jesus. This church will be full if only you ask Jesus for one soul this year. Did you hear what I said? You have to ask. You have to be willing. It's not coming to church every Sabbath and looking down at the floor when the preacher's saying something that may be cutting across what you think. You need to look up. Look to Jesus. He's the one that will empower you. Don't be embarrassed to put your hands together when you pray. Don't be embarrassed to tell someone Jesus is coming soon. It's a reality. You have to accept that. You have to believe and act upon that. Don't just come to church and go home and say, that was a lovely sermon. Every Sunday people are doing that. You are Seventh-day Adventists. Stand up. Be bold. Proclaim the message. Jesus is coming. You know what? I believe with the current world events, we need to examine our priorities. is what we're doing drawing us to or away from God? It's easy to focus on what's going on in the world. We're good at that. We get on YouTube. Oh, COVID. Oh, the forum over there in Saudi Arabia. All the events. We're good at that. Forget that. Do you understand? They're not important. I've heard sermons over all the things that are happening in the world. But you know what? What's that doing? It's taking your focus away from Jesus. And you know who's a master of that? Satan, the devil. Don't get caught up on YouTube. Don't get caught up with the monetary system. Don't get caught up who's going to be the next leader in an Australian government. Don't get caught in that. If you want to know more about that, go to the Great Controversy and look at the books of the snares of Satan. If he can divert your mind away from God, he's separating you from God. Did you hear what I said? Wake up. It'll soon be too late. The world's telling us, save yourself. And we're all listening. We're all out there. You know, people are talking about moving out into the country, doing this. And by the way, moving into the country with a family is the right thing. It's not cans of baked beans storing up food. You can move into the country. You can have all the things that you think that you're going to be situated in a good place. But let me tell you something. It's totally worthless if you don't have the relationship with Jesus. It means nothing. Yeah, you can live comfortably for a while. But when the end comes, what good is it then? What good is it then? I want you to bow with me while I pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that you give us eyes to see you, the only solution to all the problems. Help each one here, Father, to experience the beauty of seeing Jesus, our Saviour. And Father, that we will allow him into our lives and our characters will be formed to fit us for the kingdom. So I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I like that text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. The Bible says, if you want to, please open your Bibles. I know you've heard it this morning. I've taken the time to memorize this text. And I do it, and I want you to think about it. You all know it. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with them. And then it says something very important. We know that part. It says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I want to ask you this morning, do those words comfort you? Do those words comfort you? They should be. If we rise to meet Jesus in the air, you know what it means? It's a new life. Former things have passed away, free of evil and Satan forever. Think about that. Right? It's a new life. Former things are passed away and we are free of evil and Satan forever. I want you to look at the scene. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation, the Revelation of John, chapter 1 and verse 7. Revelation 1 and verse 7. The Bible says, have you got it? I can hear the pages moving. Behold, he cometh with clouds and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So what is that telling us? This is what you and I are going to experience. It says, every eye shall see him. Every eye. Every one of you sitting here will see this happen. Come with me to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. Listen to what it says here. Jesus coming is really, really, really something to behold. For the Son of Man shall come in the what? The glory of his Father and his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Let me tell you something. To be there on that day is not just going to be, hey, I'm ready. No, no, no. It means there's a striving. It's like the race. Everybody's in a race. If you want to get to the finish line, you have to make an effort. Do you get that? Don't think you're just going to make it. Oh, yeah, Sunday Keeper says, yeah, we believe in Jesus. Oh, yes, we love Jesus. But there's more to it than that. Come with me to 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. Let me just say, those who have their eyes on Jesus, whose characters like his will be rewarded. Now, you know, sometimes we talk about salvation by works. And this is not talking about salvation by works. This is a relationship reward. God, like mother and father, when their children do well and are obedient, what do you do for them? Do you smack them? Do you put time out for them? No. You reward them. God is no different. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 6 to 8 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Do you love Jesus, the thought of Jesus appearing? Amen. You get excited? You should. Have you been fighting the good fight? Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 to 14. And Robin used it in the Sabbath school lesson. And it goes like this: "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha, I am Omega, I'm the beginning, I'm the end. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city." Beautiful. What are you doing here? This is what awaits you. It says, blessed are they. For SDAs, the return of Jesus was and is the culmination of the great controversy and the end of Satan's hold on this world and its inhabitants. It's the time God rewards his faithful, obedient children whose characters are formed in the image of Jesus. You know, on October 22, 2022, it will be 178 years since the great disappointment of 1844. Seventh-day Adventists who have their eyes on their Jesus will soon witness a momentous event looked forward to and foretold throughout the whole Bible. You sitting here are the generation that will witness the long-awaited event. Well, hang on, you say. How can you say that? with absolute certainty. I don't believe anyone here, young or old, has not personally witnessed or experienced events foretold by Jesus now increasing in frequency and intensity around the world. Just a few weeks ago, Lazio pointed out the events just as Jesus told his disciples. What does it mean for you and me? And on what is your attention directed if you know the kingdom of God is at hand? You know what John the Baptist said when he was in the wilderness? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know what Jesus said? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You have to look at yourself. You have to find your faults. Don't look at everyone else's faults. Look at your own, because your salvation depends on you changing. That inward man has to be changed to a new man. In my hand, I hold the Bible, and it should be read prayerfully. It's not just pray and read. No, no. You need to read it prayerfully, because if you read it prayerfully, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to explain the Word of God to you. And it needs to be studied so it can be ready for this event that's coming. It's not sometime in the distant future. It's not. It can break forth upon us any, most people say any year, no. It can break forth upon us any day. It outlines exactly who will listen, what all will face prior to Jesus' return. That's the time we're living in. It's already begun. It doesn't matter if you're old or young. Our eyes need to be on Jesus in all its intensity as we can bring and muster in our own minds. Don't look at Satan's allurements. Jesus' coming is an event never, ever to be repeated. An event so spectacular that the whole universe is involved. Think about that. You think nobody cares about what you do, or maybe nobody sees what you're not supposed to be doing. But let me tell you, you are a spectacle to the whole universe, and they all are going to be involved in what's going to transpire in a very short time. If your eyes on Jesus, his character is become your character. Isn't that exciting? If your eyes are on Jesus, your character is his character in you. By the way, when Jesus' character is in you, you are able to overcome all of Satan's temptations. Did you hear what I said? All of them. I didn't say your sins, because once you've fallen into temptation and you do the act, then you have sinned. It's the temptations that you need to know how to overcome. You know what Jesus did? The Bible's full of illustrations. Jesus himself, when he was tempted in the wilderness, what did he say? He was offered all the things that your eyes would behold. All he had to do was just bow down to Satan. But you know what he said? No. I am going to follow what is written. And that's our safety. We have to take the word of God and look at every time we're tempted. You hear? Not when we sin, every time we are tempted. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? You see, that's why it's important. One element in the whole of Ellen White's writings that I find amazing, she uses the term character over 30,000 times. Character is the element that we take through to the kingdom of heaven. Character. So when you go home today and you sit for a moment and ponder, what is my character like? Do I display love, joy, peace, kindness, the fruits of the Spirit? Because that reveals your character. We're on the verge of the most stupendous event of this world, and we got our focus in the wrong place. Young people, there's a lot of young people here. You're caught up. What am I going to do? My exams, they're all important. But if we are living in the last moments of history, what is that going to do for your eternal life? Is your job going to save you? Is having a new car going to save you? Is getting a new computer and looking at all that stuff going to save you? Think about it. These are serious times. I have one request for each one of us. We've heard so many of the signs of the times being preached about, and I preach them too, and I think they are very, very important. But at some point, there has to be a decision in our mind, what is our priority? Is becoming, going to Avondale and studying to be a pastor? It's all those things. They are really very good. But if we know that time is short, where do we focus ourselves? I want to tell you something. The devil, it says in the snares of Satan, has invented so many devices to draw people away. Good cameras, fantastic. Good cars, fantastic. Smart TVs, fantastic. The mobile phone, the smartphone, fantastic. All do one thing. I remember somebody saying, maybe it was Lena, oh, just have a quick look, just for 2 minutes. Then it's 20 minutes. And then it goes to 2 hours. You know what? I've experienced that. I know what it's like. All of you, all the young ones should be smiling because you know that that's true. And you know what? What it does, it takes your mind away from God. It doesn't matter if you're looking at world events. It doesn't matter if you're looking at what's happening over in the Ukraine and Russia. They take you away from God. If you don't wake up today, you'll be there when Jesus comes. And it's too late. You can't say, Lord, 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 I knew about you. What does God say? I know you not. It only happens if you spend time with Jesus. Are your eyes on Jesus? If you go away from here, look carefully. Look very, very carefully where your eyes are looking. Because Satan knows. 6,000 years he's been playing around with people's minds. And the most important thing he knows is if he can distract your mind from God, he's got you. You see, the character only forms when you're with a person. I was thinking of Casey and Daniel. They just got married. You know, they're learning about each other. If they got married and just went and lived their own lives away from each other, would they ever know each other? No. You might talk on the phone. You may be able to do different things. But the relationship of being together, one with God, one with Jesus, is going to form the character that will fit you for the kingdom of heaven. You know, when I began preparing this, God just put things in front. And everything, the Sabbath school today and Lena's talk, if you ask God to prepare things, they all come together. There's a little book. How many of you have read that I May Know Him? Put your hands up. Right? There are a few. If you haven't got this book, help you to see Jesus, get this book. And I want to read to you in closing something that I found. We read it today, so I didn't know this was coming. You know, Lena, you said how God works things. And I thought, I'm going to read it to you in closing because it is so important. It's called, the chapter is, or the page or the day study is April 23, if you want to write this down, The Loveliness of Christian Character from the compilation That I May Know Him. It goes like this. Many seem to think only at the outward adorning, and they make it evident that they are not in Christ by the apparel in which they deck themselves. We are to, listen carefully, we are to cultivate the loveliness of Christian character and to seek the inward adorning. The religion of Christ never degrades the receiver. It ennobles and elevates. Upon certain conditions, we are assured that we may become members of the royal family, children of the heavenly King. Is it not this exaltation something worth seeking for? Through faith in Christ and obedience to his requirements of the law, we are offered a life that shall run parallel with the life of God. And in that immortal life, there shall be what? No sorrow, no sighing, no pain, no sin, no death. Oh, that we might be more heavenly minded and bring more of heaven into our life and conversation. But with all the rich promises of God, how many seem wholly absorbed in the things of earth? They are all taken up with the thought of that, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewith shall we be clothed. God would not have us center our minds upon the things of this world. Are you listening? Those with those smartphones? We are not to seek for our self-gratification, but to center the mind upon Christ. Are you separating yourselves from everything that will separate you from God? Ooh, how hard is that, young people? How hard is that for you? See, we didn't have the smartphone. We didn't have the smart TV in our day. We didn't have all that you have, the devices that consume your time. If you are in a close connection with God, you will talk of him. You will have an abundance in your heart of the things of heaven. Ooh, that's hard, young people, old people. Ooh, that's really hard. To have that in abundance? You're kidding me. The Lord is waiting to do great things for his children who trust in him. Do we expect to dwell with Christ in the eternal world? That's a big question. Big question. Then we must dwell with him here, that he may help us in every trial and temptation and make us ready for his coming in the clouds in heaven, of heaven. The beauty and grace of Christ must be woven into our characters. We cannot keep Christ so apart from our lives as we do. Is that tough? And yet be fitted for companionship in heaven. He is to be all in all of heaven. He is to be the all in all of heaven, and must be our all in all upon earth. 187 years we've been listening to the message. You and I'm no different. I'm a little bit shorter than you. I got baptized in 1975. I wasn't a Christian. But to think today you have to give all, how many could do it? Think about it. How many could actually do it? Would we give every excuse? Well, I've got a young family. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. They are real, by the way, those things that you're thinking. but there's one thought that overrides the other. Are our eyes fixed on Jesus or the things of this world? May God bless you as you contemplate your priority in 2022, because Jesus is coming soon, ready or not.